from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
We bring it. I'm sorry, Chris. This is just kind of what happens when you join this show once in a while, man. We missed you, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good, man. How you living with all this Brandon Ayuk 49er stuff? I mean, the Niners said, man, we figured out the quarterback situation. There ain't no drama there. Let's create it with the wide receiver position, because this is what they do every year, huh?
They lead the NFL in drama every year, it seems like. I don't really know how to judge this without seeing the end result, right? Because on one hand, like, the Niners making everything seemingly public and saying who they're negotiating with, to me, reads like they want the world to know that Brandon Ayuk is potentially weighing the idea of going to a worse situation for more money, which in essence could be a negotiating ploy by the Niners saying, yeah, public perception is not going to be on your side, right? Like, very few people are ever on the athlete's side when they go choose to play in Cleveland or a rebuilding New England team over a team that has a chance to win the Super Bowl, right? So that was my read on that. And then the Steelers stuff, I mean, it makes sense, but I don't know. I keep coming back to the idea, like, if you're the 49ers, why do you have to trade him? Like, what, like, it, so, you know, you don't sign him to a new contract. Like, what's the end game there? Like, how bad is it? Is Brandon Ayuk gonna not be a professional, gonna not understand that, you know, he still needs to be a professional, be a productive player to get paid at some point down the road? Like, the 49ers absolutely do not have to trade him. And I have a hard time knowing, you know, the little I know about Brandon Ayuk, the human being, I can't imagine he's just going to let himself get in the way of this team trying to compete to win a Super Bowl, because he still cares about his teammates and stuff like that. So I keep coming back to the idea of, like, why do the 49ers have to trade this guy? Because I don't feel like they do. And that said, I don't know the internal dynamics. I don't know what's happening when Brandon Ayuk's in the building and if he's being like a malcontent to the point where the front office is like, we have to get this guy out of here. Or if they're just saying, like, man, talk to these other teams, see if they'll give you $30 million a year. And if they don't, come back to us and then we'll give you our best offer, right? They might be allowing Brandon Ayuk to see what the market actually is for himself instead of negotiating in hypotheticals. So I don't know. A lot of smart people sound like they're convinced a trade's going to happen. I'm still dubious. So it's hard for me to judge the situation without knowing the end result.
It feels like he's 26 years old and he was very productive for the San Francisco 49ers. Is this, let's start from the beginning. Let's start here, 'cause this obviously is centering on money. My belief is, and we've like broken this down 50 different ways, that there is a monumental difference between $26 million and $30 million in this conversation. And it's a bit unclear, though there are reports out that the 49ers offered him $26 million in May, and not much has changed since that. Now we're hearing numbers from Mike Reese that, what was it, the Patriots offer was like $32 million. Mm. That is a massive discrepancy in the world of the NFL. What do you think Brandon Ayuk is worth as a wide receiver? Like, if we're are we talking top three money, top five money, top 10 money? Like, what are we looking at?
I think he's worth top 10 money. Like, I think he's worth 28 to 30. And if I'm the 49ers and your window appears to be closing like it is, I'm not really sweating a couple million dollars here and there. Like, I'm just trying to get this deal done, trying to make sure you go into the season with the vibes as high as they could possibly be. And right now they're just not. There's just a lot of question marks. I was at camp on Sunday and it was just this cloud sort of weighing over the entire practice, right? It's like, it's not really about what's going on the field. It's about the guys that aren't there in Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams. And like, it's really hard to get to the mountaintop and keep coming up short the way the 49ers have. And at some point, like, the championship window is going to close. And at some point, there, you know, some guys are going to age out of this roster and they're not going to be able to pay everybody. But Brandon Ayuk is a guy that you sort of bridge the gap to the next core, right? It's like, it's Brock Purdy. It's going to be Nick Bosa. Brandon Ayuk certainly should be that guy. Like, you paid Christian McCaffrey, but you're going to lose players elsewhere. So you got to keep the guys who are good and young and still in their prime. Even aside from just the conversation about this season where there's so much urgency to try to win a Super Bowl now. So if the 49ers end up trading Brandon Ayuk, to me, it's just a massive miscalculation on their part throughout the entire offseason. Like, you can make the case of, you know, trading Brandon Ayuk in April and getting a first round pick and then using that first round pick and you get a cost controlled player for 4 or 5 more years in the way that, you know, the Chiefs dealt Tyreek Hill and still won Super Bowls, right? In the way that the Packers traded Devontae Adams, and while their receiving core hasn't been quite at that level, it's pretty good, right? Like, it hasn't been a complete disaster of a trade for them. There's plenty of logic and history behind trading a guy and recouping, you know, multiple draft picks if you can do it. But to do it in August, like during training camp, especially when you don't have to me, that just, I don't understand the logic of it. And this whole thing screams like malpractice if the 49ers do end up making this deal and Brandon Ayuk is playing elsewhere in 2024.
Yeah, I don't understand trading. Well, I understand trading. I don't understand trading if you're not getting a starter at one of these positions and need back. Like, if you're just doing it for picks, I mean, you can do that whenever. Like me and Jesse were talking about earlier, maybe the picks aren't as good, but I'm not worried about that, right? Like, I'm worried about if I'm making a trade, I need a verified starter. So I'm of the belief, like, the trade is going to happen. I'd like to see what they get back in return. And if it's anything less than a certified starter, that's one that I can't give them a pass on. That'd be all bad, in my opinion.
And if you look at, you know, a lot of people are talking about the Steelers. Who on the Steelers would you be happy with getting back?
Right? Yeah, it's not there, man. It's at least not at that wide receiver position.
I mean, I like George Pickens. I would take George Pickens back, but I don't think he's on the table, to be honest with you.
I don't know that Pickens is even a Kyle Shanahan type receiver. Like, for me, it's like, could you get Minka Fitzpatrick? But if you're
that's
Steelers,
what I was
I
thinking.
Can't imagine
do,
the Steelers.
Yeah, do you go to another position outside of that wide receiver position and see what you can get?
But I can't imagine the Steelers wanting to give up Minka. So, right. One of their young offensive linemen, like, is that moving the needle? Like, Kyle Shanahan and Chris Forrester talk all the time about, you know, the important players are the ones with the balls in their hands, and you hope you can get linemen in the middle rounds of the draft. Like, trading Brandon Ayuk for an offensive lineman just doesn't seem like that's something they would do at all. So I don't know, man. It seems like a trade is likely, but I feel like they could say, all right, you saw what the market is. These teams offered you this much. Maybe now we'll raise our offer to this level. But I mean, I don't, going from 26 to 28, like, shouldn't be that much of a hassle. Like, I know they have constraints, but that, to me, like, you know, this is the wrong time and the wrong team to be pinching pennies like this.
Do you think, why do the 49ers do this? Like, why is this happening again? Like, why do they insist on it going this way?
So I feel I kind of straddle the fence on this, because they've done a really good job, obviously, of putting together a good roster and having a lot of really highly paid players. And they've done so, like George Kittle, top of the market when they signed him. Same with Fred Warner, same with Trent Williams, same with Christian McCaffrey. So they've been willing to go to the top of the market for all these positions, and it's just odd to me now that they're deciding against doing it for Brandon Ayuk, even though he clearly deserves it. Mm. I do wonder if there's an element of like, well, we have Debo Samuel, and you know, we sort of thought that maybe we would be moving on from Debo Samuel because of the health concerns long term and his style of play, and is he going to age all that well given all the physical contact that he takes? But then Debo Samuel happens to be like the best player at training camp right now, right? Mm-hmm. And so like, is, you know, can you make a decision about, all right, well, we'll pay Brandon Ayuk, but we'll move on from Debo. Can you think that way right now if you're the Niners? I don't know. So this keeps happening because they're very judicious on their contracts. I think Prague Marate is very good at manipulating the salary cap. And there's a reason why they've been contending for as long as they have. It's because they have a lot of good players and they have to pay a lot of these players, and they've done a good job of that. But at some point it's going to go the other way and you're not going to be able to pay everybody. And it just feels to me right now, they're being way too tight about this. And just particularly what's at stake. Like, you know, it's not a time to be trading, you know, a young ascending all pro type player when you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year, because you don't know if you're ever going to be back here again because of the financial ramifications coming up over the next few years and all the guys you're going to have to lose.
The thought of paying Brandon Ayuk $30 million. I like Brandon Ayuk. If I could, I would if I was the general manager. You think the 49ers should be paying a wide receiver $30 million a year? It's a team that passes the least in the game and uses their tight ends and all this other stuff. Do you think they should be paying a wide receiver $30 million a year?
He was an all-pro. And he blocks his ass off, right? Like he's not one dimensional in the sense of like he's not an asset on the field during in the running game, right? So he fits Kyle Shanahan to a T. He fits Brock Purdy to a T. Mm. And we haven't talked about Brock Purdy at all, but like, man, if you're about to give Brock Purdy $55-60 million, you better maximize him in terms of, you know, the weapons around him that he's comfortable with. And maybe Ricky Pearsall develops into that, but I think it's pretty clear that Brandon Ayuk is the best long-term fit with Brock Purdy. And now if you trade him and then you're paying Brock Purdy $60 million a year next offseason and he doesn't have his best weapon, I just think you're, you know, it's a slippery slope. Like you're not setting yourself up to succeed in that sense. And man, I would just pay everyone you can now and then deal with the financial stuff later. They're trying to do this. Like, I think they're trying to fit the future into the present a little bit too much, or factor the future into the present a little bit too much. And I think, you know, if they end up trading him, it's going to bite him. Like that's my opinion. And you know, maybe it works out, but I have a hard time finding the logic in trading Brandon Ayuk in August. If you were to tell me they traded Brandon Ayuk for a first round pick before the draft and they drafted someone that they really liked and that player is going to help them, then I could, you know, you could talk me into that. You can't talk me into trading Brandon Ayuk in August.
Do you think that really is the biggest hang up right now? The idea of not necessarily what our cap looks like right now, but everyone knows and everyone in football has written about the Brock Purdy contract coming next year. And the fact that this team is loaded with really good players at multiple positions on both sides of the ball, is that what they're trying to navigate right now today when dealing with Brandon Ayuk, is all of this stuff that's going to happen in the future?
Yeah, covering the team for as long as I did, whenever you would talk to John Lynch, he would always talk about, you know, they have a 3-year plan at all times, right? So everything.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
They would do, would factor in that three-year plan, and they would, you know, be looking ahead and trying to balance competing now and not not putting them in a bad spot 3 years down the road. But at a certain point, it's like the 1994 team, and there was no salary cap in 1994, so it's not analogous in that way. But like, they went all in on that season because they were able to get Deion Sanders, and they were able to piece together, you know, the best roster in the NFC because they had been on the doorstep for so long and hadn't broken through since you know, whenever it was, 1990 to 1991. And then that's sort of where they are now. And now there's a salary cap, but they still have that 1994 type roster, but they're not going all in, right? And so I think that is the source of frustration if you're a 49ers fan. It's like, man, you're a team that sets the standard of, you know, Super Bowl or bust every year, basically. Mm-hmm. And now you're risk losing one of your best offensive players for a couple $1 million a year. Like, if that's, you know, if the reported numbers are accurate, which I think they are, like, that to me is just, it's not the direction that they should be going.
Yeah, I think there's a difference, in my opinion, in if you could get him for 28, 28 and a half, and you're stuck on this 26 number, I mean, that's egregious if you're the 49ers. That can't happen. If it's 32 plus, which, you know, there's a report out there that he turned down 32 from the Patriots, maybe he feels he could get that or something around there for the Steelers, that's a little different. I'll ask you, Chris, a question that I asked Jesse and D'Lo. Is Brandon Ayuk a top five player on the 49ers?
Oh, man. Okay, so Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, Christian McCaffrey, that's three. George Kittle, Fred Warner. Man.
You didn't even name the quarterback yet.
Definitely name the quarterback.
And then Brock Purdy, yeah.
And that goes into that. I think you got to think about that, too. You're going to pay a guy that's not top five on your team $30 million. I would pay him because I just like Brandon Ayuk and I like offense, right? But every time I ask somebody, everybody's like, yo, you got to pay him. I say, not even top five on your own team.
But that's you. That's unique to this team. Like, so let's do this the other way. Okay, he's seventh. We could throw Kittle. I don't agree with Kittle, but like, that's fine. Let's throw them all in there. He's seventh. Can you afford to lose him?
Mm-hmm. I don't know how they look at it.
Well, you got all the money in the world.
This was a decision they needed to make in the spring before the draft. Like, Kenny, I get where you're coming from. Like, if you're like, yeah, we're not going to pay our seventh best player $30 million a year, I get that. But you can't make that decision in August. Like, you got to make, like, move on. Like, do the DeForest Buckner thing and try to get and try to recoup a first round pick. God. And then, not that the DeForest Buckner thing worked out,
it did,
but there
not.
Are plenty of examples of there are plenty of examples elsewhere of trading a good player for a first round pick and recouping. And we saw the Chiefs do it with Tyreek Hill. So, like, I just think, regardless of where you're at on paying Brandon Ayuk, that's not a decision for August. It's a decision for before the draft. So at least you can move forward and help your team this year, because, you know, like we said, unless they're getting Minkah Fitzpatrick, there's nobody on the Steelers roster that you're adding for. And while you lose Brandon Ayuk, that gives you the same chance or a better chance to win a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah,
I think. Sorry, Dame. I think the Niners just misread this situation, the whole situation. There's an argument to not doing that at the draft because you say, nah, we want him here first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Like, we want him on the team. Like, we're not disgruntled with him. We don't want to move on from him. We want him on the team. Let's not be so rash right now. And let's wait till, you know, later in the summer, and we'll figure this thing out. And they just haven't. Like, and I guess somebody's got to get blamed on anything, but I don't think the thinking in that case is that far off, especially if you want the guy on your team. If you want him on your team, you're not just getting rid of him at the draft because he says, I want out. Like, you're going to try and see this thing through. And maybe it's a gamble. And it seems like right now they gambled wrong.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think one thing they miscalculated was the receiver market overall. Mm. Right? Because it sounded like they were ready to give Brandon Ayuk $26 million before Justin Jefferson signed, before A.J. Brown signed, before Jalen Waddle signed, right? Like, they knew all these receivers were free or were going to get new contracts. And it always happens in the NFL, right? Everyone just gets more expensive. When Jimmy Garoppolo signed in February 2018, he was the highest paid player in the league for like a week until the next quarterback got his contract. Like, that's always how it works in the league with the growing salary cap. Like, these guys, the numbers are always going to get bigger. And I think they thought, for some reason, they didn't foresee the fact that so many receivers were going to get paid and these numbers were going to get driven up. And it would have made way more sense to make the aggressive push to sign Brandon Ayuk. If he was really important to you, sign him in the spring before all these other guys signed. That way you're not getting inflated by, you know, the AJ Brown deal, the Devontae Smith deal, all that stuff. Like, all that stuff happened and Brandon Ayuk's like, well, I might have been worth 26 in March, but look at all these dudes who signed. Like, I'm worth 28, 29, 30 now. And that I think is the Niners' biggest miscalculation, was that they should have looked at the market and known that these numbers were going to go up in a way that would have made them uncomfortable.
Yeah, I wonder if offering him 28 in March would have been, or whatever May, whenever the deal was allegedly offered, if the 28 offer, because what we hear is 26. But if you offered him 28 before the Waddle deal hits, before some of these deals that Chris just referenced right there, mm-hmm. does it feel different than today?
Yeah, you probably get the deal done, I would think.
You
remember when George Kittle, like when the 49ers first approached George Kittle's camp, I forget who reported it. It was they gave him an offer on Valentine's Day, and Kittle's camp called it the Valentine's Day Massacre because it was such a bad offer. Like, the 49ers love starting low and then working to, you know, whatever they're going to get. But for whatever reason, they started low and just haven't worked up to the rest of the market. And it's, you know, it's I don't know that there's a good reason for it. I really don't. It's odd to me that they're doing this.
Do you think 26 is low?
Yeah.
Okay. We've had that discussion. Like, I think 26 is too low for the caliber of player that Brandon Ayuk is.
I think Amon Ross, St. Brown, and Brandon Ayuk are very comparable players, just in terms of their value, right? I don't think Amon Ross, St. Brown is worth 30. But, you know, like, I would say Amon Ross, St. Brown is worth 28.
Mm-hmm.
If I was, like, really picking nits, right? But like, the Niners are one of the most valuable franchises in sports. Like, just guarantee a little bit more money here. Like, it's not that difficult. I don't know.
That's why I can't believe it's 28. Like, if they're at 26 reported.
Well, now it might be 32.
Well, and that's a different conversation,
yeah, that's
right?
A very different conversation.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's 28, I'm looking at the 49ers. Funny. I'm like, what? You're not going to give him two more mil annually, or a mil and a half, or whatever the case may be? You sound crazy. If it's 32,
if it was 32,
different...
he should have taken it then.
Well, maybe, 32, right? Like, 32. If it was about the money, and
well,
it was 32.
Unless you think you can get 32 from Pittsburgh.
Well, that's a dangerous. You can't think. You have to know. You have to know what Pittsburgh's offer is.
I agree, and it feels like. I'll give this to Brandon Ayuk, him and his representative. They've known a lot this whole time. They knew not to sign that deal early. They knew not to cave. They knew, hey, we can get, I think that agent is telling them, we don't have to settle for no 26, not even 28. We can get X amount of dollars if you want it. All you got to do is stick to your guns. And so far, they're
but,
right.
But yeah,
because like we didn't even know if they can get 32. He got 32 allegedly, an offer of 32 million.
They got it.
From
they got it from the Detroit Pistons, though.
Well,
you want to go play for the Detroit Monty? You want to go coach the Detroit Pistons? And I guess Monty went and did it. So I guess it's possible. But the one thing they don't know is the end game, because this is like you could say, hey. We got a contract in place. Let's say Pittsburgh's 32. Great. You're 8. You guys played this beautifully. Fantastic. Chris pointed this out a minute ago. I'm sorry. What are you sending back?
Mm-hmm.
Because We're trying to, and this is the key component to everything. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. Your second round pick next year or 2 years from now, that doesn't help us win a Super Bowl right now. How am I going to look Trent Williams in the face when I got to go get his contract situation dealt with? How am I going to look Fred Warner in the face and tell them, yeah, sorry, man, but, you know, we're getting a good draft pick next year. Yeah. You can't.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Which is why I still think there might be a better chance than what's out there publicly that they just
I'm with them. You. Yep, well, I'm with you.
Take it for what it's worth. I know Rappaport is saying what he's saying, but Schefter's weighed in. And there's video of it. I obviously haven't heard it, but the caption is, Adam Schefter reports that the situation with Brandon Ayuk is still at a standstill and the 49ers are not in a rush to make a move.
Okay.
So
there it is.
And that's the way they should be. Like.
Well,
I
wouldn't be in a rush to make a move.
Well, it depends on Chris's answer to my next question before we let him go. Is the Trent Williams thing a big deal, or do you think they're going to get this dealt with no problem?
I think the Trent thing is going to get dealt with because it's probably similar to McCaffrey. It's probably just guaranteeing money that he's probably going to make anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
And finding a way to inflate his average annual value so it's number one in the league, so he can be on top of the SPO track and over the cap lists.
Well, they need to do it because they're making me nervous.
Well,
if you're Trent Williams and you're as accomplished as he is, you probably aren't dying to get to training camp before, you know, the second preseason game.
Well, you say it's because I'm a fan, but they're making me nervous because how they misread this situation. I don't want them misreading another one.
I don't think they're going to misread one.
They better not.
Because I honestly think Trent Williams will sit down and say, look, we ain't doing what you just did. Let's get this dealt with right now. Here's what I want. Here's how we're going to do it. Here's what you need to do. And John Lynch goes, okay. And they end it. That's how it goes.
Trent goes and buys another great sweater. At least with Brandon Ayuk, they have Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings. Jalen Moore is not those guys from a talent perspective.
Great catching up, Chris. Man, we appreciate you so much. Excited for a football season to get here and Kings basketball to get here. You know, a month and some change away, and we could talk a lot more, not about contracts and what ifs, but what's happening on the field and the court.
Absolutely. Good to see you guys as always.
I appreciate you. That's our man Chris Biederman right there, the Sacramento Bee.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.